listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello, everyone. We're so happy to have you back with us. We are Caroline Jens.
I'm Justina Patterson. Welcome to Daycare Overhaul,
where we do childcare better. This is season two. This is our second podcast of the season. And as usual, we've got some great topics today. And I think we even have an amazing guest that's going to be joining us. Right, Justina?
Yes, we do.
Well, it's actually an blessing that we're here today, because we had two things both going on, something with me and something with you. I had a hurricane coming my way, and you were moving.
Yep. Not to throw a wrench into anything, but talk about making sure your internet's ready in time to take care of a podcast.
Well, and luckily the hurricane passed us by, so we were actually going to have to divert to our guest and have him host the show this week. But we both made it. I'm so glad. Our topic today is going to be leading through the unknown. And I know in my past, you know, leading, there's been a lot of times that I've led, you know, prior to COVID and have felt like, where am I going? Where am I taking this team? And honestly, since COVID started, I've often wondered, you know, am I taking Childcare BizHelp in the right direction? You know, am I leading our team the way they need to be led? So I'm really looking forward to today's topic, because I believe that our special guest has got some really great insight to what he's doing in his schools. And so today I would like to welcome Richard Huffman from Celebree Schools. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
We're so glad to have you. I'm going to read your bio just to go through, let people know, you know, all that you've accomplished and before we get started.
Okay.
So Richard Huffman is the founder and president and CEO of Celebree Schools. He founded Celebree in 1994 and has grown his brand from a single school to around 26 schools, right?
26 open currently, yes.
Perfect. His experience with early childhood education began in 1984 when his mother opened a daycare business called White Marsh Childcare Center. Between classes, Richie lent a hand to the family business, giving him an early understanding of the daycare and preschool industry. 10 years later, Richie started a daycare center of his own, opening his first Celebree school in Ellicott City. Over the course of more than two decades, he grew Celebree from a single location into Maryland's largest privately held chain of childcare centers. That's awesome. And now Celebree has a franchise sector, and you know, you continue to guide the core vision of your brand, a vision that embraces change, innovation, and the constant pursuit of self-improvement. And that's what really got me excited about today. I've been following you on social media for a while, and you're always so inspiring. And I thought, when Justina and I were looking at season two and who we wanted to have on the show, you were definitely one of our top people that we wanted to have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
And a happy anniversaries.
Yeah. Yeah, 20 years yesterday, 5 kids later, and we're still having a great time.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, like I said, I you probably were on your LinkedIn going, why does she keep looking at my profile? I want to make sure that we're prepared for today, but I do want to encourage our listeners to, you know, follow people like you on LinkedIn. It's a really great source to not only stay on top of the industry, but to be encouraged, you know, because you are a godly man. You know, I see that faith is a big part of who you are. It's a very big part of Childcare BizHelp. And so I just always like to encourage people to, you know, follow like-minded people for sure. But we want to start by hearing a little more about you, because I think you know, having you on our show and the experience that you bring to the table so critical. So why don't you just tell us about your journey in this industry? You know, I read your bio. So yes, you know, you started Celebrity. You're at a really great point, but you know, how are you an innovator in our space?
You know, it's funny. Well, thank you for embarrassing me with the 20 year anniversary, but I wasn't prepared for that, but thank you for, that's okay. Thank you for your good wishes. But, you know, as you mentioned, I first was introduced to this at probably the age of 17, and at the age of 26 years old, I convinced my parents that I could open my own school. So, you know, through my mom's, really through her mentorship with me and teaching me all that she knew over her 15 years up to that point, my mom still runs her school today, some 30 years later. Runs it every single day. But, you know, when I opened my first school in 1994, I was really, you know, I was just trying to open a business. And in 1996, when I opened our second school, I knew at that point that this was something that I wanted to dedicate my life to. I believe, and I'm sure most of us believe, there's no other business that's so rewarding as this. I mean, I just could not imagine doing anything else. And what I mean by that is, you know, we get to see our children grow and prosper every day. And the really cool thing that I've learned over the last several years is that we can also take that same philosophy and apply it to our teachers. And that's what I've spent probably the last 10 years focusing on is how do we get these teachers to feel the same thing that we feel as owners and make sure that they realize that they have made the right choice in this profession and they are making a big difference in these classrooms and in these children's lives. So Celebrity is really heavily focused on, you know, career paths and making sure that these teachers have the right skills in order to run a very productive classroom. I don't have those skills, I'll be honest with you. I always laugh, like I'm the guy that goes in, gets the kids all riled up, and then I walk out, and then it's up to the teachers to take all their knowledge and skill sets that they've learned and apply it to get the classroom back in order. But yeah, that's never been my forte. I've never taken a course on childhood education or development. I just love people, and I just love to see people prosper and grow in their life. We've seen it, right? We've seen, you know, people, especially here in Celebrity, that have gone from assistant teachers to assistant directors to directors. Mm-hmm. And right now we have, and I know we'll get into this a little later, and now we have three directors that now own their own Celebrity school, and that just gets me excited.
That's awesome. That you made a comment about not having the early education background. I didn't either.
Yeah.
And so when I had to kind of sub in the classroom when we used to run a center, we had a staffing crisis and I had to go into a classroom and the kids totally took advantage of me.
Well, and you were like me, you're probably okay with it.
Yeah. Justina's a fabulous teacher. That's actually how I met her. She was one of our teachers and she was amazing. And I would go in her classroom and I would be so envious of how she was. And then here I am, they're like, we're going to put you in nap time with the 4-year-olds and you'll be fine. They're going to nap the whole time. And I thought, well, I'm going to get a ton of work done. But no, they started like rolling off of their mats.
Right.
Or talking to each other. They were laughing. Right. And I just, yeah, taking complete advantage of me. But
I was going to say 4-year-olds don't sleep. They put you in the wrong room.
Exactly. So they moved me to infants and I was But yeah, one, you know, I'm really excited. We can dive into your culture, you know, kind of as we move along, but you do see and celebrate all the wonderful things that you do for your staff. And I think that's really what sets you apart, what sets your brand apart. I know I listened to one of your interviews this month that you had. And one of the things that you mentioned was you know, staffing isn't as big of an issue for you as probably all the other centers that we deal with. And that's really a testament to who you are leading your organization.
Yeah, you know, every Friday, and we have reinstated this over probably the last 3 weeks, every Friday, you know, all new teachers come here to our support center, and they have 5 days of training, and we talk about, more important, of our culture and our vision and where we're headed, and setting expectations for them as what, you know, we have 9 core competencies that we believe makes a great teacher. It makes the expectations very clear. And at the end of the year, or even mid-year, we don't really have to tell you how you're performing. You already know how you're performing. So it right shouldn't be I don't know, and because you know what the expectations and the competencies are of a celebrity teacher. But you know, every Friday I go upstairs and I talk to these group of men and women that are coming in as celebrity teachers. And the number one reason that they come to work for us is because that they say, because I know I can grow here. And I think that's, you know, whether you're in this industry or not in this industry, I think that's what creates happiness, right? If you're growing in your faith, if you're growing in your relationship, if you're growing, you know, in many different ways, that is what creates happiness, I believe. And when you're growing in multiple categories of life, I think that's when you're extremely happy. So, you know, I the worst thing that I could think of is, you know, putting a teacher into a classroom and her or him just thinking that this is it. Like, I want them to know that the harder I work and the more value I bring to celebrate and to my families and to my children, you know, there is growth here for me. As I mentioned, you can be an assistant teacher today and work hard and get on that career path and be a lead teacher and go into an assistant director and director and eventually being a celebrity school owner. So I think that's very attractive to people, and they're excited to come work here because of that opportunity of growth for them.
That's wonderful. So, you know, just having you speak to those teachers once a week, you know, that's a big commitment from your standpoint. And that's really a testament of who you are as a leader. Where do you see Celebrity going from here? So you have 26 schools right now. You have the franchising option. Yep. What's next for you guys?
Well, we have 26 schools. Let me back up. So last March, I was like, okay, you know, I've been doing this for 26 years now. We have 26 schools. I'm 52 years old. Yeah, this is cool. This is fun. You know, we know how to open schools. We know how to operate schools very, very well. What, you know, when I wake up and I'm 60 and I turn around and I look back and now we have 50 schools, I'm going to say, yeah, that was really cool too. And it just didn't excite me. Right. So I said, how else can we grow this and use my talents? Cause again, as I mentioned, my talents are not in the classroom. So my talents is in mentoring, entrepreneurs and helping them get to a whole different level, just entering their business or wanting their current schools and taking them to a different level. So that's when we decided to start franchising. So, so far since last March, we've sold 17 franchises, which I think is incredible. We sold 7 last year, just in the first year. And it really wasn't a year. It was probably 9 months. And this year so far we've sold 10, right in the middle of COVID, which actually is really, sparking the growth in franchising because a lot of people are sitting home, whether they're deferred or laid off or struggling in other businesses and are like, I'm not sure if I want to continue doing this any longer. So people are looking for opportunity not only to open their own business, but they're also looking for opportunities to be a part of a very meaningful business, which we kind of talked about earlier. They're looking for a legacy. They're looking for how do I better support my community, and as we all know in this business already, there's nothing more rewarding. And I think during COVID, you know, it's even proven that our industry and our business is even more special than we originally thought.
Yeah, that's One thing that we've noticed is we have gotten a lot of inquiries about starting a childcare center, and I agree. I think a lot of industries are failing. People are at home. You know, childcare, we're plugging along. You know,
exactly.
We don't have a choice, right?
it's a struggle, but you know, I thank God that we were deemed essential, and that we were even allowed to remain open. There was a lot of businesses that were not even allowed to remain open. So I'm just thankful that we were allowed to remain open. And there was, as we know, there was some, you know, as a leader, there was some owners and directors that decided when this began that they were going to close. And we made it very clear right from day one that we were going to remain open. And that was the best decision we made, because my biggest fear is that it's very hard to start momentum. So why would we stop it? I just could not imagine taking the business back from a dead stop and getting the kind of momentum that is necessary to drive a business.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed also. Hearing centers that actually close their doors and they're trying to reopen and trying to get those teachers back. You know, it's been a really difficult situation. Yes, keeping your doors open during this has been, you know, a challenge. You know, there's a lot of different things that we've had to do. But you're right, closing your doors and having to start fresh, that's hard work.
Well, and I kind of equate it to a sporting event, right? It's like for this whole, I don't even know how long it's been now, 15 weeks, like we've been playing the game every day, every week. And to jump right into the game when you've not been playing it for 15 weeks is very, very difficult. And I never wanted to, and they don't understand the game. They don't understand the rules. I mean, we were meeting every day, you know, talking about what the new rules were from CDC, what the new rules were now from license. So, I mean, we were bopping and weaving and making adjustments every single day, not only from an operational standpoint, but also from a business standpoint, because we had to continue to take care of these families of essential workers, but we also had to bring value to the families that disenrolled and decided that they were going to stay home. You know, as a business owner, you know, as you know, I mean, it comes down to a couple things. It comes down to, you know, it comes down to revenue, it comes down to cost savings, and it comes down to adding value. And that was kind of our three pillars. How do we continue to drive revenue and bring revenue into our organization? How do we cost cut because the revenue is not what it was? And how do we bring value to our parents and our families so they will continue to pay us? And whether that was in school or whether that was home. And that's, you know, and that's where you mentioned earlier, we pivoted very, very quickly to sending our families and our children, you know, daily videos, which kind of showed them what their morning routine was. We start those videos with the pledge to the flag, and that, I mean, the exact same routine these children would experience on a daily basis. We videoed and sent it out every single day.
Wow.
To continue to bring that sort of value.
And so why do you think you've been so, I like to use the word successful. I'm sure your enrollment is down, but you really have been successful through COVID. What do you think is the reason behind that?
I just think that we're listening, mm-hmm. right? We're just listening. We're listening to what our parents, you and I were talking before we started the podcast, and we're listening to our parents. And we have two strategies to get, our ultimate goal is to get back to 90% capacity where we left. That is exactly our goal. And our strategy to that is two things. One, get 100% of the 90% back, right? Because they're the easiest ones, right? These parents were already in love with your school. They're just sitting on the sidelines right now. So that's our biggest pool of families to return back into the school. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, there's two reasons. They're still afraid, right? We forgot we just had a summer, right? Because we were so, right? And the business normally, families normally disenroll anyway for the summer. So we totally forgot about that. and they're enjoying this, taking advantage of saving some financial dollars right now. So, you know, that's what we're fighting against, but we're constantly speaking to those parents. We're constantly sending them videos on the importance of early education, because that's our biggest fear, right? Some of these children have been out of our classrooms for 5 months, and there's no way that you can convince me that these children are not falling behind academically. And that really is scary. And I don't think we know the impact. We're not sure what that impact it will be moving forward. But then you have your new families, right? So that's one of our strategies. Let's get the ones that were already pre-COVID in our schools. Let's continue to communicate with them, prove the value that they already knew was in place, but let's remind them of the value and getting these children ready for to enter into kindergarten. And then you have your new families that just need care regardless. So that's kind of like our two-pronged approach. But we have a huge campaign just after going after the children that were already enrolled pre-COVID.
That's a really great strategy. I mean, in terms of leading through uncertainty, you know, those are definitely really what really strikes me about what you said, and Justina, feel free to chime in, but what strikes me is that you have really clear metrics and goals that you've communicated with your team, in terms of, you know, we want to get 100% of that 90%.
Yep.
And just to have that clear understanding as a group, and that's a real clear goal that you can achieve, and then you can move on from there. I think that, you know, that's probably one of the number one things leading through that uncertainty. And then go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I also saw on your website, and I'm going to point this out just because I was really impressed with it, was, you know, we're having to change programs and the things that we offer. And you have this video on your homepage up in the slider that really introduces that whole virtual learning aspect. And wow, that's really well done.
Yes. I mean, again, we got to make the best out of this, right? I mean, what do they say? We got to take lemons and turn them into lemonades here, right? I mean, this is our business. And more importantly, these are our children. Right. So, you know, we have to create these environments for these children to learn. I mean, I feel like that's our responsibility, and that's our mission, and that's what we signed up for. So, you know, if others aren't going to do that and do it well, then we have to do it. So the other thing I would mention also as a leader, and I had to be very careful with this, because I have a tendency of, yeah, that's great, we're going to move forward regardless kind of mentality. And you know, during this COVID, it really, I think, made me a better leader, because you had to be very sensitive moving through this as a leader, because everybody was viewing this in a lot of different ways, and depending on their personality. And I think that's still the case now. But, you know, what I tried to do was to be very sensitive to other people's thoughts about what we were going through, while still keeping my eye on the vision, and how fast could we get back to our original strategy that we had put in place for 2020, and so it really gave us a strong foundation instead of all this uncertainty. It was like, okay, guys, like, now we're stable, right? We know what's going on. We know where we reduced capacity. We know children are returning. Let's get back to what we know, which inside the strategy. And some of those things we're not going to be able to execute on just because of the environment, but there's a lot of things that we can execute on. And as we started getting back to the original strategy of 2020 and actually implementing, it started building confidence, right? Just like anything else. As you start accomplishing things, confidence starts to rebuild. And today, I mean, we are 100% on the offense. We had a strategy meeting yesterday, and I mean, my hair is standing up on my arms right now, because I was blown away at, even during this environment, that the things that this team was able to continue to accomplish, meaning rebranding our schools, getting our schools accredited. Even though the state's not coming out and doing their part of inspections of accreditation, we are still pushing forward without them and getting our schools accredited. So I was just very excited and thankful and just blown away at what we were still able to accomplish to the original 2020 strategy.
Well, and I think, you know, this kind of segues into our next question, which is, you know, about having that strong team alongside you. And, you know, what is that, how has that made a difference, you know, in you as a leader, to Celebrity as a school, you know, having those right people in place?
You know, I feel lucky and blessed, but that lucky and blessed is not by chance, right? I've built this team. Right. So I built this team, and that wasn't by, you got to realize a part of that vision and part of that strategy, what kind of team do I need in order to accomplish that? Right. So we've done that very, very well here, especially as we leading to, you know, between the 26 schools that we have open and the 17 franchises. I mean, by, you know, over the next 2 years, we're going to double our growth. We're going to be at 42, 43 schools throughout five states. So, you know, that structure and that team has to be in place early. And I can tell you this, there's no way that we would have been able to, as you said, Caroline, be as successful as we were through this COVID if I didn't have this structure and this team in place.
I really appreciate that you said, and this was so confident, I built this team.
Yeah.
We have owners that aren't necessarily involved in their businesses to where they can say, I built this team. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, and this kind of goes into that working in the business versus on the business. And I really feel that's working on the business like you should be doing as a top leader of your organization. And that's building that team.
Yeah. And the cool part about that is, like, you're giving people right? You're giving everybody an opportunity to shine, right? Like everybody has an important role here. And instead of the owner just taking all the credit comes all the pressure also, right? And all the responsibilities. If you share that responsibility across multiple important pieces of the business, then everybody gets a chance to shine and feel like they're making a contribution to the organization's mission and what we're trying to accomplish here. I mean, Lisa Bricker here in charge of HR, I mean, she's got like 1,200 people that she's responsible for in their development. I mean, I've made that very clear. Like, it's not about just HR stuff, like, you know, this and that. It's about growing these 1,200 people in whatever direction that they want to go in. You just reminded me yesterday, she reported that we have six, you know, one of our goals is to take an elevation, is to take assistant teachers and elevate them into lead teachers. We have 60 people right now during this COVID that are in class headed towards their teacher certificate.
Wow.
I mean, I was just blown away. And so what that means is, like, the grow within philosophy, we don't have to go looking outward for people. We're growing people within. And it just, it benefits the company because they came in as an assistant teacher. They understand, or they've had probably a good year and a half, understanding our culture, understanding our philosophies, understanding our expectations. Now we're going to grow you. If you want to, it's up to you. Now we're going to grow you to the next level. 60 people right now that are headed to the next level of being a lead teacher.
And I think Justina and I have that experience too. I 100% am right alongside you there in terms of growing from within. Justina, you want to mention kind of your past?
I started as I started as a school age teacher, but then I ended up in the toddler room, you know, and then after a super secret meeting in a laundry room, I became like management and marketing and that sort of thing. And now, Now I'm working with Caroline. So had it not been that, partly that I kind of put myself out there a little bit, and she didn't recognize that, like, I would probably maybe still be a toddler teacher. I don't know. You know, but that was really important that, like, I knew that there was somewhere else I could go.
Yeah, and I think what we mentioned earlier was, I think deep down inside, you knew you wanted to grow, period, right? You were going to grow somewhere, somehow. And I want to make sure I'm real clear with this. I'm not talking about just because you've been a part of the organization for 2 years that you get the right to go to the next level. I want to make sure, right? We're not just promoting people just because they've been here a long time. We're promoting people that have put the work in and we know without a doubt is going to bring value to that next position.
So in terms of, and maybe I'm putting too much information out there that you don't want to share, but if I'm interested in moving up in your organization, how do I approach that?
There's a career path. It's very clear. This is step one, and there's step two, all the way to step whatever, to that next level. So that proves if you're willing to do the work and put this work into taking the steps necessary to get to that. Well, let's make it easy, right? So if you're willing to take the classes to become a lead teacher and everything that it requires to become a lead teacher, we're going to put you on that path. But you have to do the work.
Right.
And then we're going to assess that and say, okay, he or she did a great job. They are ready, or maybe they're not quite ready yet. We're going to mentor them, put them in another position for someone to mentor them. And we're going to keep our eyes to make sure that when that day comes and we feel like you're ready and you feel like you're ready, that we put you in that position.
That's great. So in terms of COVID, you know, it sounds like you've had a lot of really big successes during COVID.
Can you please mention a few? Because it doesn't feel like it now.
Well, let me look back at my notes. Honestly, what I really loved, and just we just had this conversation last week, was about our strategic planning.
Yeah.
And how we started 2020, just like any other organization, with these lofty, you know, amazing goals, and then it just halted. And we actually just revisited our strategic plan to kind of, let's remind ourselves about the plan, kind of pivot, see what we need to adjust, and look at what we can still accomplish this year. And I loved your comment about being on the offense.
Yep.
You know, you're not playing defense. And I feel like there's a lot of organizations out there that are playing defense right now.
Yeah. That's a mindset. Right? I'm tired of playing defense. I'm going to play offense, right? We played defense for a very short period of time, and that was because we had to play defense because we're trying to, like, we didn't know what was going on. I mean, as I mentioned, I've been doing this for a long time, and we've been through probably, you know, maybe two or three downturns in the economy, and we know how to handle that, and we know how to weather that. This was something totally new. Right. When it's out of your control, right? When the state's telling you what you can do and what you can't do, that's an entire different environment of making adjustments and driving enrollments and watching this expensive. Like, that's, to me, that's easy. Right. But when people are telling you what you can do and can't do, I've never experienced that before.
So what were probably some of your top struggles during COVID?
I think just having to adjust so quickly. I mean, the more I reflect back, Caroline, it's like, I mean, our teachers could have just said, I don't feel like I want to be here. And they could have walked out the door, and that wasn't the case for our teachers. We did part of our appreciation and knowing what they were going through, we did increase our teachers' wages to just, you know, make sure that they understood that we knew this was uncertain times and that we valued them even more than we did before. And we wanted those teachers that left to know you know, that these teachers that that stayed and still gave these children an amazing experience in the classroom were valued. So we increased their pay for, I think it was about 2 months. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, the more I reflect back, we did do a lot of pivoting and adjusting and bopping and weaving, just because of what the current environments were. And as you know, and a lot of our listeners knew, I mean, it was changing almost daily.
Right.
So I think it comes down to, you had to have the mindset of, we're going to stay open and we're going to win. We're going to win. Whatever it takes, I don't know what's going to take, but we're going to work our butts off and we're going to meet and we're going to communicate and we're going to win. And, you know, you fight through it and you come out on the other side and you're like, yeah, we made that. We did it. And I think the other side is, as you mentioned, the other side is like, is the offense. It's not the defense.
That's really great advice. I was going to ask, I don't know if you have any more advice because I've written down so many notes. We're going to win.
We're going to win.
I love that. Any other advice that you can give our listeners? Because, you know, you really, I think are at a different level than other people that might be listening. You know, you've been open through this whole thing. How can we continue to navigate over these next few months with virtual learning and with possible, you know, COVID cases in our schools? How can you give us any advice?
I would just, you know, this battle's not over yet, right? Celebrity is heavily involved here in Maryland and Delaware in making sure that our governor and our state understands the importance of early education. We're still fighting to get our capacities back to full capacity. I know a lot of states like Ohio and many other states have gone back to their regular license capacity. We're still fighting that battle here in Maryland. I would recommend, because we know we can't survive off of, you know, 50% of, right, of capacity. So my recommendations would be get loud on this topic with your congressman and your governor. I mean, there's not one person across the nation that didn't agree how essential and how important early education was in the recovery of the economy. But it's kind of gone quiet now. So we need to get loud again and get back to our full license capacity. And for those that, you know, for those that have not opened or reopened, let's just get back in the game, right? Let's remind ourselves or remind yourself of why you started your business to begin with and get back in the game. And I guarantee you, you'll figure it out. And there's a lot of other people out there that will help you figure it out. And here in Maryland, you know, I've opened up Celebrity to those schools that, listen, come to a Celebrity school. We'll show you what we're doing. We'll show you the kiss and go procedures, you know, to make you feel confident that you can reopen. But, you know, as I, you know, walk through our schools now, you wouldn't even, except for the teachers wearing the masks, like you wouldn't even know. These children are still having an amazing experience. And that's really what we've signed up for and what we've dedicated ourselves to accomplish. They're still getting ready to prepare for kindergarten. I just can't wait for the returning children to get back engaged, and let's just get these little guys back to what they know.
That's awesome. So what's next for you?
Well, as I mentioned, it is to get us back, get our industry back to our regular license capacity. We're fighting that on a weekly basis. We have some lobbyists that are working for our industry's behalf on making sure the governor understands really what's going on here. And as you know, I mean, children of our age are in the lowest risk category possible for COVID. The CDC has recommended that children go back to school. So everybody's saying green light. And some of these states are still sitting on that information. So We got to get them back. Our goal, as I mentioned, to get back to 90% capacity and continue to sell franchises. Our goal is to sell 25 franchises per year and give these families an opportunity to own their own Celebrity School, the same opportunity that my parents gave me 26 years ago. I want to give that opportunity to others because I know what it's done for me and my family. And as I mentioned, I couldn't imagine doing anything else that's so rewarding than what we do.
Well, it's definitely apparent in everything that you've said today. You can see that it's truly a passion of yours, that you love your school, that you love your team, and you have provided such great information today that I'm sure our listeners are just going to latch on to. I know, like I said, I've written a lot of notes. Thank you also for being a resource in terms of letting people come to your school. I think that's one thing that we've really noticed in this industry with COVID is we're all uniting together and helping each other. That's the only way we're going to make it through this. And so sharing of information, if you've perfected something, and someone else needs help, we're sharing it.
Absolutely.
And I just think that's wonderful. Well, I appreciate you coming on today. Justine and I were really honored to have you here.
Thank you.
I was very fascinated the whole time. I'm just like listening, like, okay, Justine, you should probably say something.
No, you have a really great brand, and we're excited to see where you head in the future. Thank you for coming on to Daycare Overhaul. And as for our listeners, we appreciate you listening in. As usual, if you would like to share a story of something that you've implemented that you've heard on our show, please share it on our Daycare Overhaul Facebook or Instagram and hashtag OverhaulWin. And we encourage you to send stories to us, info@childcarebizhelp.com. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye.